What's up, Gator Nation?
Good morning, Gator Nation.
You're listening to Gator Nation.
And the Gators have the biggest lead of the day.
You're listening to Morning Edition on WUMT.
From the University of Florida, College of Journalism and Communication.
3, 2, 1, we're live. Hello, everyone. This is the Communicator Podcast, the University of Florida's College of Journalism and Communication series, where we dive into the latest in media, picking the brains of top faculty, staff, and on this episode, students around the Gator Nation. I'm Sophia Abulfathi, a media production senior, and I'm joined by another media production senior, August Malos.
Hello.
You're listening to a special episode highlighting incredible students here at the CJC. Today, we're speaking with Louis Legere, an MPMT alum and current graduate student pursuing his professional master's in mass communications with a specialization in entertainment management. Thanks for joining us, Louis.
I'm happy to be here.
So in May 2024, you graduated with your Bachelor of Science in Media Production, Management, and Technology, concentrating in management and strategy. When did you know you belonged in media, and why UF?
Yeah, no, I knew I was going to be involved in the world of media when I was probably around six. My folks took me on a trip to Walt Disney World, and I was born in San Salvador, El Salvador. So, you know, we traveled some 3,000 miles to go to the parks, and being there, I think, was just such an impactful moment because I could see the physical impact of great storytelling, generations of storytellers telling really fantastical, entertaining stories with great messages. And ultimately, that was very inspiring. Not to say I didn't enjoy my movies before then, but I was six. That was the first time that I really had a chance to see the convergence of media into other spaces in our life. And of course, you know, there's this amazing story of this visionary of media, you know, behind the parks and behind that legacy company. So it was very inspiring to hear about Walt's journey and of course how the Walt Disney Company came to be what it is today. And when I returned to El Salvador, I was very much convinced that I wanted to do this, that I wanted to be in the business of media for the rest of my life. A little bit of a crazy, you know, thought for a six-year-old to have, especially, it started off with like, I want to be Mickey Mouse. And then somebody told me that I was a little too tall for it at that age.
Oh.
And so I said, fine. I'll go into the business of movie making. But yeah, it has been such an incredible journey. I mean, I can't imagine, where it's going to go now. But it's really cool to note that it started some 3,000 miles away from where we are today, and you know, tens of thousands of miles away from where I ought to go, to California. So it's a really cool story. And why UF? When I was in high school, University of Florida was climbing the ranks. You know, there was a lot of excitement in the alumni base, a lot of buzz around UF really becoming a force to be reckoned with on a global stage in academia. And I think that prompted a lot of my faculty members, professors, or teachers in high school to talk about it and talk about their experiences being here. I was excited, you know, to apply. But it was actually a struggle. I was considering another school and UF. And my parents brought home some Gator merch and they said, yeah, go try this on, see how it fits. And I came out of the bathroom and my entire family was head to toe in Gator gear and had a camera pointed to my face. And they said, are we going to be Gators or not? Mind you, we're immigrants. We have nothing tying us to the university or to the state. But there was this genuine excitement to be here because the energy at UF really is unlike anywhere else in the world of college and collegiate, you know, communities. And when I visited, the first time I stepped onto campus, I knew this was going to be home.
And so in your last summer as an undergrad, you traveled with the CJC to Cannes Lion International Festival of Creativity. Talk us through that experience and the best lessons you brought back home.
Yeah, there's nothing quite like the French Riviera. I will say the Côte d'Azur is a beautiful place. It's become one of my favorite places in the world, just having been there. My decision to study abroad was because I love film, and Ghana is the sort of hub for incredible storytelling, right? It's the mecca of filmmaking. So I wanted to go, and I knew this was an advertising festival, and I had some background in advertising. But I wanted to just be there and experience it. And once I was there, I didn't want to leave. It was awesome. It's such an incredible global hub of creativity, where so many incredible creative strategists and creative minds come together to display the best of the best in the world of advertising and beyond. And being there as a student was such a privilege, because you get such a great insight look at what that world is like, you know, what business in that world is like. I saw a lot of deals close over some beers and, well, some wine, let me not offend the French, you know, while we were there. And that was a very insightful lesson that I now take working in business development for an advertising agency. It's one of the things that was a very formative moment. I also met an incredible community of Hispanic leadership in the advertising space while I was there. And they have all become family mentors to me. And they have given me this space to be able to really grow and develop in a very global way as a young leader in the Hispanic space and representing my community in that area. Cannes Lions is awesome. I think the biggest lesson I took away was you can't be afraid of starting the conversation with somebody. Mm. Everybody's human. And my mom always told me that growing up. So everybody has moments of vulnerability, right? Everybody has a cup of John and then goes to see a man about a horse in the mornings. And that makes everybody really human at a human basis, right? And so knowing that I could just go up and talk to the CMO of Apple, or go up and talk to the EVP of Amazon and GM Studios, because they were there and they're human and I'm human, and I could connect with them in that regard, and we both are passionate about creativity and about storytelling, that was a very empowering thing that ultimately I think has informed a lot of the way that I've gone about, you know, building my network now as a postgrad student here.
Great.
You actually gave me that advice at some point. You said people always have a moment to talk.
Yeah.
Changed my life. Even recently, I had people within the college, I just get to walk up to them and I've gotten a lot more smiles back. So it's really cool. Anyway, we heard a rumor that you broke a world record here at UF. Can you tell us what happened?
Yeah. it probably is one of the most memorable moments of my undergraduate career at UF. There was an event put forth by the Division of Student Life, and they invited 30 students from across UF to come out and break a Guinness World Record. Which was the most fist bumps given to a mascot in under 3 minutes.
What?
Yeah. So this is really serious, guys. We trained. we had a training session where we just did laps around Ben Hill Griffin Stadium, get our heart rate up, develop a good technique for going about it. We all basically had to run in this giant circle while Albert the Gator just stood there and you know, got all the fist bumps. And the original record was set to 220, and we showed them how gators do, and we broke it at 340. Yeah, we shattered that. And it was really, really cool. We were at Ben Hill Griffin. It was a great moment. I felt like I was, you know, being written down in the little UF orange book of history. And it was really cool. And we got to do the whole run to the field. Like we were, you know, the Gators, that we were the football team, and we had people on the stands cheering and press and all of that. So now I can officially claim on my Instagram bio that I am a Guinness World Record breaker.
Wow. And we can claim
We're in the presence of one.
Is that actually in your bio?
Yeah,
that's fantastic. Yeah, I know.
It starts a conversation.
Yeah.
So looking at your entire undergrad career, I mean, you are someone who naturally finds leadership roles. You were the president of the Hispanic Communicators Association, the VP of External Affairs, and the head dean's host with the Journalism and Communications Ambassadors. And currently, you're on the Dean's Graduate Advisory Council.
Yeah, you know, like you mentioned, I've been involved in a leadership role in some capacity since I was about 15. So it's something that's very deep and personal to my journey. And when I was at UF, I had about eight or nine, leadership roles across student organizations, which is, by the way, about 8 or 9 or 10 more than anyone should ever have. You should go for, you know, 1 or 2. Like if you really are passionate about being a great, impactful leader, I think the reason I got involved in so much was I'm a follower of this concept of it's a Japanese concept of continuous improvement called Kaizen. Okay. And so I believe that every time that I take up a leadership role, I learn something new about, you know, a new facet of leadership that I get to add into my toolkit. So that to say, I did a lot. But I think it's important to acknowledge that leadership comes with its own set of pressures and its own set of responsibilities that not everybody's going to be comfortable taking up. And that's okay. But if you want to take up that leadership role and you want to take up, you know, the growth that comes with learning how to lead people, not manage, but lead it, I think there's a lot of great lessons that you can take away from a collegiate leadership involvement journey. One of them is just learning to create culture within an organization. I think that's one of the biggest takeaways from sort of getting involved in college, understanding what culture fits your organization. And if you're a keen observer of the relationships and the behaviors of people within your organization, you can then understand how you shape that culture to really drive action and, you know, to mobilize people towards a cause and then drive results. But it all comes back to, you know, how you lead and what culture you ultimately take up. So I think that's one of the lessons that you take away. The other one is just navigating internal and external politics, right? We're a big campus. We are, I think, 60 or 70,000 Gators and you know, overall. You're going to run into personalities. You're going to run into situations and challenges. And every single one of those moments makes you a stronger leader. Understanding how your role fits into the general campus and how you can build relationships, whether that be with student government or other student leaders or with your own membership, that ultimately are important, you know, pieces of the puzzle to figure out how to be an effective leader. Navigating those environments is going to be an important lesson for you to take into the corporate workspace, for example. And then lastly, I think students need to get involved because they care. And that comes down to, I think, the biggest lesson I can give somebody about collegiate involvement. If you're in collegiate involvement for the accolades and the recognition, you're in the wrong spot. There are a lot of better avenues to get that. There are faster avenues to get that through your individual interests. You need to be involved because you care about the community that you have the privilege of serving. And if you do that, you're in the right spot. And I think you'll find a lot of success being involved.
That's great. I think it's safe to say you showed a pretty impressive and successful undergraduate career. And it looks like it all sort of led up to what you could say is your big moment in your senior year.
Yeah.
You founded the Orange and Blue Film Festival,
right?
Which is currently the largest statewide student film festival run by a Florida university right here at UF. Tell us the story. What inspired you to make this dream a reality?
Yeah. So, I mean, just like I was saying, I think a lot of my journey at UF is about, you know, moving the needle towards the Gator good, right? Leaving our campus better for future Gators than how we found it. And so Film Fest came in as an idea that it's probably the most near and dear project that I've ever worked on at UF. And it came in about the end of freshman year. because I was actively trying to look for ways to improve our media management program. I didn't feel like there was as much hands-on opportunities as some of the other programs, maybe journalism or advertising, where you really have the ability to dive in with your hands and do the work. And so I shopped around some ideas, even like a streaming platform at one point. So if at some point UF releases CJC Plus, right,
or, we'll know where it started.
Or Gator Plus, you'll know. All right. I will be writing a letter and taking the credit. But I shopped around some ideas and most of them got shut down because we were not a film school. Right. So I took the challenge personally and I used my role at the Hispanic Communicators Association to start the Hispanic Gator Film Festival. So in many ways, UF Film Fest kind of stands in the shoulder of the Hispanic community that showed up and supported that project because we used it as a proof of concept to say there's a model that could potentially work if you give us some of the resources. And so after that, we went in and we developed I developed a multi-layered sort of idea for Fest. And then it became we. You know, and then it became the project of many, the dream of many. I had enough street cred coming back from the Cannes Lions. Some faculty members had spoken highly of me at the time, and I approached the then new chair of the MPMT department, Roxanne Kosh. And, you know, she was probably like, who is this kid just standing at the door asking me for a grand or two to make this crazy idea happen? But ultimately, she took a chance and she believed in the idea and she believed in a kid who she didn't really know well. Now she knows me more than well. She would like to know me less because of the amount of time that we have to spend together working on making Fest happen. But then that combined effort of 20 incredible team members was really what brought the inaugural year to life. And from there, to be honest, it took off and it's gone way beyond what, you know, I'd originally thought. But I think what UF has originally thought, it's really taken a life of its own and has become this awesome flagship student film event in the state. And I know a lot of people are looking forward to this April when it makes a comeback to campus.
I'd like to really emphasize how much time that took too. I mean, you shopped this around, but how long did that take?
Probably 2 or 3 years. Yeah. I got a lot of no's on the way of shopping this around. And it wasn't the first idea, but people didn't see it. Mm. And I get it. I didn't really have the vision either at the time. I just had the need. And I said, I know that there's a need for this, for our creative community, for our media management community. Students will like this. And when we came back from France, we had made a visit to the Georges Méliès University in Côte d'Azur in the south of France. And we had seen their facilities and their people so excited to have this creative space. And so I came back with just enough street cred to make it happen, at least to pitch it, you know. And now that it's taken on a life of its own and it's a class and, you know, we work with amazing partners and vendors and all of that. Now it's a lot easier to get resources and get people involved. But it did take a little bit. And I think that's one of the other keys to leadership, especially collegiate leadership. Consistency. Mm. Consistency. You know, if you're not there for the right reasons, it'll shine through because you'll eventually default out of your interest, right? But if you're there because you care, and if you're there because you're ultimately trying to do something not for yourself but for other people, hopefully that's enough of a motivator to push through.
I'm Glenn Richards from WUFT Amplified. If you're like me, you appreciate how special the local music scene is here in North Central Florida, featuring indie rock, hip-hop, bluegrass, and so much more. WUFT Amplified is Florida's music series, filmed right here in Weimer Hall. This show rocks, guys, seriously. And you might not realize that WUFT Amplified is produced entirely by UF CJC staff and students. To watch past episodes and discover your new favorite bands, check out wuft.org/amplified.
As as the current executive director of the film festival, Orange or Blue, what does your day-to-day look like? And how do you keep your head on straight?
Oh, I don't. That's the real answer. I don't. I really rely on an incredible group of people. I mean, Stevensi Asim, our managing director this year, our entire admin team, Kira, Cole, Charlie, Raven, Talasia, and, you know, our overall team of 50 students that are dedicated to working on Fest and making it a reality. And alongside our advisors, Iman Zwari, Roxanne Kosh, everyone, you know, really plays a pivotal role in making our collective success happen. And so that's how I stop myself from kind of losing my mind and managing two internships and a graduate program on top of stuff is just to build a really great group of people who ultimately care about the result just as much as you do. And so that allows me to have a little bit more breathing space in my personal life and other parts of my professional life. My day-to-day varies quite a bit. Now that I'm in a new position as an executive director, most of my work kind of is resource allocation. Where do we need resources? What resources can we pull? Who can we go to get those resources? And you know, how much can go to what? And then industry relations and connections to the industry. And that's building really strong industry ties. This is new, you know, and we are a new development for our strategic plan as a college. And because of that, that just means somebody has to go and do the legwork of really seeding deep roots in the industry that we can go and water with alumni as we pump out graduates, right? Mm-hmm. And we have an incredible alumni network out there. And so the question became, who can we go to and who can we ask and what can we, who can we rally around the idea that is in an industry, right? And who can we bring in to speak to students? So that is some of the work that I do. And then sort of strategic long-term vision for the festival. Our team is awesome and our community is so great. But we're really focused on the end goal of April 12th. We're trying to get through, you know, April 12th at 11:30 at night whenever we wrap up and whenever we finally clean everything up and we send people on their merry way. And then Dr. Roxanne Kosh and I sit for dinner and think about the next year. Right. That is what the team is focused on. I'm focused on what are we doing in 5 years? What are we doing in 7 and 10 years? And how do I communicate that vision with the university, with the college leadership, with Dean Hub Brown? Where can we, where are there spaces to develop, you know, some opportunities for Fest? And so that's sort of my job. I have taken up a very big picture sort of job recently.
What can you tell us about this year's festival? What's new?
Well, a lot of things are new. It is not your inaugural Orange and Blue Film Festival. I can say that.
Okay. Which was a great year. Let's not any corners here.
No, not at all. But we are really going bigger. We're going better. We're going bolder on what we're doing. And this year, we really wanted to expand our capabilities a little bit and really bring in industry. If we wanted to clash sort of that academia and education and industry aspect right here in Weimar. So I can't say too much because I'm not sure when we'll air this. So I'm not sure if everything will be out. But I will say we've landed some really incredible partnerships with legacy media organizations, okay, with local community partners. And we are currently evaluating how we'll take that partnerships, take those, you know, opportunities and how we can leverage them to bring new people to the table. And also, you know, how we create this experience beyond just our film students, our communication students. How do we reach every single cinema fan on campus? You know, and how do we bring them into the room? And how do we make them excited to be there? and excited to be watching student films, because our student filmmakers, whether that be from UF or from across other Florida colleges, institutions, or high schools, they work so hard. And Sophia can tell you that it is such a hard job. You are the editor, the writer, the prop master, the art department, yeah. All of the above. You're the gaffer. And so this is really a space to recognize that and celebrate that. And so what we're doing this year is we're doing that in a bigger scale. And we have some really, really exciting things planned, including, and this just got approved yesterday, but including some potential tailgating for the Orange and Blue game. So we have we've started some strategizing and synergizing over with the folks across campus who work in the athletic side of the world, and we're seeing how we bring in that Gator spirit to the festival to really make sure we have a Gator first mentality when we're leading the flagship student event for film in the state.
Fantastic. I mean, after all this work you've done, I have to imagine you're only as good as your people, right? You're only 100%. As good as your community.
100%.
And so being here at the CJC, is there a particular faculty member or advisor that has really transformed into a mentor for you?
Oh, so many people. I really am a product of this community and a product of the space that I'm in. And that's why I'm so, I think, incredibly passionate about serving it. And keeping its interests in mind whenever we go into any project. It's because so many people here have been instrumental at shaping me into who I am today. And not just faculty members, my friends, my peers, but I can name specific faculty members. Roxanne Kosh, Lisi Calienes, Kimberly Fowler. There's so many people. James Mamanikos, Catrice Graham, Thomas Garvey, so many people that have played, Dean Brown, have played instrumental roles in shaping me into the leader that I am today. Whether that is directly by giving me amazing advice and picking me up when I'm down, giving me the space to crash out or picking me up when I can't, whether that is just leading by example. And that's one of the things that I see in Roxanne, I see in Hub, is whenever they're leading, I take the moment to really internalize what they're doing, because they are such powerful, compassionate leaders. And that's just the type of energy I want to emulate,
You're aiming to complete your master's in mass communications.
Yep.
This year.
Yeah.
By the end of this year.
Yes. By December. Which is a rather ambitious timeline there. So we'll see what my thesis. We'll see if I have a disagreement with my own thesis. But so far, so good.
So new challenges. What have you been surprised about in this transition from undergrad to graduate student?
Yeah, I mean, it's a different life. I'll tell you that. The work is a lot more in depth. And that's one thing that I've noticed. As far as academia, the work is a lot more in depth. But I'm also, I'm just a lot more professionally involved right now. I was a very, active member of our student organization community in my undergrad. And now that I'm in my graduate school, I love that community. I still very much consider myself a part of that community, and I try to be a resource to it. But I am very professionally involved right now, So it's internships and jobs and interviews and all sorts of cool opportunities that pop up. I mean, Sundance at the beginning of this year, Super Bowl 2 weeks after, South by Southwest in 2 weeks. It's a busy schedule. And so I think that has been a big mental sort of shift, is that kind of entryway into a busy professional life, as well as the academia, managing both of them. And teaching is weird. It's a very interesting dynamic. I mean, I'm about a year older than most of, the students in the Film Fest class, or some of them multiple years, but it's an interesting dynamic to be in this side of the aisle, and see the journey through a post-grad eyes, being able to see and mentor students. I'm like, oh, I made that mistake. I know what to do here. You know, that is a new feeling. But it's also, it's a really cool experience to have. And it does come with some degree of imposter syndrome. And I talked a little bit about that, you know, when I was graduating in my speech. But it's just good to remind myself that I'm where I'm supposed to be. And it's a cool experience to be having.
You weren't the only applicant for this position.
Tell us a little bit about why you pursued your professional master's and what your thesis is hoping to accomplish.
So I was actually having breakfast with the platform party before graduation, because I was on stage for it. And so I was there with a former vice president of production for the Walt Disney Studios and Hub, Dean Hub Brown, and, you know, everybody, all of the deans and all the chairs. And James Babani comes to me and goes, "Hey, I hear you're going to start a master's program." And I said, "I am." And he goes, "Yeah, you know, are you not staying with us? I thought you were considering." And then Robin Goodman, who was then the associate dean of the graduate division, came around and said, "Oh, you've spoiled it, haven't you, James?" And and then I was like, "You guys really want me to apply?" And they were like, "Well, you know, we would like to keep you around if that's at all possible. We'd love your shot at it, but if not, you need to go and be in industry and do life." And so I took a long time to sit with my thoughts and think about it. I interviewed for a position at a prominent studio in LA. I got pretty far out into the process, down to looking at housing and all of the above. And, you know, the market is rough. I'll give them that. Ultimately, that position by itself completely was scrapped. Mm-hmm. And I said, this is a sign that I need to stay. Mm-hmm. And so I applied for the program. Obviously I got accepted. I'm here. And it was a great choice. I lived with the back and forth of that choice for a few months, starting the program and well into my first semester. I had my doubts that I really wanted to, you know, stay. I feel like I'd had this incredible wrap-up moment, you know, for the journey. And I'm a person who sees life through stories. So I'm like, this story was done, and it was done in the perfect, you know, ending shot. And you could just go into the extreme, extreme zoom out and, you know, boom, roll credits. And I'm here again. And I don't know how I feel about that. And, you know, and I had this moment recently. I was at Sundance, and I was there with the Film Fest class and with Lisa Gallienes and Kim Lee Fowler. And I was looking at the marquee, and I was like, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. And I've never felt such peace mm-hmm. with a decision like that. It just hit me like one, you know, like a brick. And it felt like a good sign that I was on the right track. So I'm very glad that I stayed, and I stayed to keep serving this community. So I'm excited to be doing it. Now, what I hope to do with my master's degree, hopefully get paid more whenever I leave. That would be great. And everybody, you know, hopefully everybody gets paid well when they come out of U Florida with a graduate degree. But my thesis around you know, diversifying revenue streams for small independent film festivals, and I really wanted to at first hone in on streaming, which was a new thing, and it was the thing that I want to ultimately work in. And you know, I took a moment to also just consider what the backbone of our industry is, and it's film festivals and it's independent creatives, right? Mm-hmm. And I wanted to make the space that we celebrate them in and the space that we ultimately go and recruit great stories from better. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't start by making Sundance, Tribeca, or Cannes better. It starts by making our small indie film festivals better and stronger and economically feasible, so that we can make the space for more creatives to start in the industry and make their way to the big circuit And then from there, be picked up by your A24s, your Disney, your Universal, and have the chance to, you know, go direct the next Oscar winning film. And it all kind of comes back to making those spaces more resilient to economic changes. And I've always been a person to look at, you know, our business through the business lens. So I wanted to get a good toolkit developed for how festivals can make themselves more resilient to economic changes and how they can make themselves more sustainable economically as well.
Lewis, when you talk about feeling this finality, we know that you had this wonderful speech, and I was hoping that you would share a little bit of about your experience with that.
Yeah. So I was the spring 2024 graduation speaker for the College of Journalism and Communications. And it was a surreal experience. I mean, I wanted it really badly, and I wanted it for a few years. That was part of the plan, the vision at least. I really wanted the experience, not because, you know, I love public speaking and wanted to share my story, but because I felt like there was a message that I could share that was meaningful. And to me, that message was telling yourself an impossible story, telling yourself something crazy that you can ultimately see happening in front of you. And to me, that story is my own story of wanting to do this and wanting to be in this life and wanting to, you know, be involved in this industry thousands and thousands of miles away from where it's located and where the heart of it is, you know, in a third world country, not speaking English, not having any prospect at all that I would move to the United States. And, you know, that was the story that was impossible to me. And that was the story that I wanted to tell. But I applied and I auditioned. There's a self-tape out there somewhere that I hope no one ever releases, because the speech was very different at first. But I revised it like 14 times. And I said that on the speech and I meant it. I looked at every joke. I looked at, you know, all the pauses. So I was really, really obsessed with making sure that in all of the spectacle of it, the message was clear and that it was loud and that it was, you know, impactful, because it was impactful in my life. And so I just wanted to share that so badly. And the morning of, I got up at like 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. and I was getting ready, and I was still late, by the way. And it was such a surreal moment. I was there and I was talking to thousands of people about my life and about my story and about stories and the power of them. And I got to walk with my cohort, and I got to stand up there and say that it's great to be a Florida Gator, and it was so cool. And then afterwards I went home and had a great time with family. And when I finally settled down a few weeks later, after coming down from the high of it all, I opened this list I have, which is my bucket list. And I was scrolling through it just to see what I could knock out in the summer, you know, where I had some extra time to kill, and I wasn't in school, and, you know, I was interviewing for a job at the time. And there it was. There was a bullet point that said that I wanted to just give a speech that meant something to someone. And I got to cross it off. So it was the perfect ending to that story.
So after you complete, fingers crossed, your degree at the end of the year.
Right.
What's next for Lewis?
The next best thing. I'm always looking for the next best story. So I don't know where life will bring me yet, but it will be the next best story. Something that it's worth living and something that's worth telling.
What's the next best piece of advice you can give for any incoming freshman or yourself as a freshman here at UF?
Make the plan. Okay. Expect the plan to fail. throw away the plan, wing it, because you're you and you're going to land in the right spot.
I needed that. Didn't you need that?
I needed that.
I needed that.
Yeah.
That's very nice. I needed that too. Thank you, Lewis.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you both.
The Communicator Podcast is a production of UF's College of Journalism and Communications. This episode was produced and hosted by Sophia Ablafati, with help from August Malos. Thanks to our guest, Lewis Legere. Special thanks to WUFT. Go Gators!